This is the Word and the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
This is Josh Kelso with Tyler Azeltine and Tom Engstead. Today we're talking about the priority of the church, why the body of Christ matters. We live in a time in our culture where our communities are very segmented. Many would attest to the reality they've got several different areas in their life that they're committed to, whether it's family life, work life, social life, church life, really fill in the blank with all the different things we concern ourselves with. And not only that, but there is many resources. There are many resources available to us, from sermons online, devotionals, podcasts, things such as these are easily accessible. And it's the practice for many to really concern themselves with all of these things and to not prioritize their connection to the local church. Where if they are connected to a local church, it consists of maybe an hourly or an hour service that they attend weekly and kind of go as a spectator, experience whatever the church is offering them, and then they go home back to those other areas of their lives. And so want to talk a little bit biblically from scripture, why the body of Christ matters, the priority of the church in the believer's life. In order to do that, I think we need to understand and first agree with God about what the church is. And there's a lot of misunderstanding just from the basic levels of what is the church. So Tom, would you help us think through that? Talk a little bit about what is the church?
Absolutely, Josh. It is a key question to this conversation. And I think the simplest answer I could give you is it's assembly of people. For Bible-believing Christians, it would be assembly of people that have unity with Scripture, unity with Jesus Christ. But I think it's important, too, to say what the church is not. The church is not a building. It is people. And I think 1 Corinthians 4:17 gives a very clear picture when Paul is giving instruction. In 1 Corinthians, he says that he is sending Timothy, my son who I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. So as we think about church, there's a unity with what we believe. And for the Christian, the unity is a clear gospel presentation of Jesus, and it's God's word.
That's good. Yeah, and throughout scripture, maybe just to summarize what you're saying, Tom, the church consists of the people of God in a local community gathered together intentionally around scripture, around God's word. I think we also see specific order within the church. There's pastors, there's elders who lead the church. There's to be form to the corporate gathering. There's to be principles and practices. We see that from 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, specific instruction so that we would know how we ought to conduct ourselves in the household of God. Things like corporate singing, the preaching of the word, public reading of scripture. These are the things that the church is to be about, as the church is made up of the people of God. And so the church is not, like you said, a building. The church isn't even everybody who comes to a given service. We believe in a regenerate church because that's what scripture teaches. The church is the people of God joined together, connected in a local assembly.
Absolutely. There's just a unity of what brings them together. And for the Christian, it's Jesus Christ.
Amen. Absolutely. So if that's what the church is, let's talk a little bit about what is the church to be about. What should the church be pursuing if the church is the people of God collectively, not just a few who are leading an organization trying to produce some sort of product, but actually the church is all of the believers connected to one another in that local assembly. What should we collectively be about? Tyler, do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think one of our favorite passages for all of us here is Ephesians 4. Mm. And really, a lot of what you guys just said is right there in this passage. He gave some as apostles, verse 11 says, and some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Some of those were primary establishment of the church offices that we don't see today. Pastors and teachers, we do. What were those for? To the building up of the body of Christ, that the believers would be built up, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So, Tom, exactly what you just said, we are to be unified around solid biblical doctrine in general, and pursuing conformity to Christ together. I think that is our goal, that men and women, believers in the body, would become mature, would be like Christ.
Right. Yeah, I think it's so important to, as we talk in the context of the Christian church, beyond the preaching of the word, there has to be a biblical view of God. If the church doesn't, the Christian church doesn't have and teach a right view of God, I think it's failing to do what it's called to do.
Yeah, and I think it's common in our world and in Christianity for a really long time to think that the ministers of the church are the pastors and elders, the teachers. And that actually isn't what we see in Scripture. It's actually that the body would be equipped to do the work of service, Ephesians 4 says. And how does the church grow? Josh, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, just continuing with the passage that you were already pointing us to, verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children. So this is Ephesians 4, verse 14, tossed here and there by waves and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. What's the contrast to that? What creates spiritual stability for the believer? Lack of deception or being carried away. It's speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And grammatically, if you break down verse 16, I love this. The subject of that clause is the body, and the verb, the action is causes. And what does the body cause? It causes the growth of the body. God's design is not a top-down service within the church where the elders are making ministry happen. The pastors of a church are to equip the saints for ministry, as you talked about just a moment ago, Tyler, so that then the saints, being connected in love, joined together by what every joint supplies, causes the growth of the body. So what does that mean practically for us when we're thinking about priority of the church, our involvement in the church? If we are keeping the church at an arm's length, if we're not engaged with the church and it's just kind of a peripheral, fits in the margin of life, we are not only stunting our own spiritual growth and missing out on God's design of how he produces maturity within his believers, but we're actually stunting the growth of the body as a whole that we're to be connected because we're not functioning properly. And so God's design within the church is that we are to be connected to one another. So the body causes the growth of the body, but how does that happen? Well, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. Every member of the church is vitally important and uniquely gifted to benefit the whole body. We just don't oftentimes think about church that way. A lot of times it's, do I think I need church right now? Or am I content with the way my life is going? And we miss what God is doing spiritually to mature us and deepen our faith and grow our godliness through our connection to the church, and what he's doing through others to grow their maturity. I'd encourage you, if you're listening right now, when was the last time you thought about the implications of your participation in the church having an impact on the spiritual maturity of those who are a part of your church that you love? It does have an effect, a correlating effect. We see that right here in Ephesians 4.
I think, Tyler, you bringing us to Ephesians 4 was so helpful, because when you even think of the role of the church, the role of the people that are assembled, it's evangelism. And I know often, you know, I've had conversations where people say, why doesn't the church, meaning the pastors and elders, why aren't you organizing this? But really, this is a role of the entire body, that we seek the lost in our community. And I think it's helpful just to recognize how important it is to be a church person, that you are part of the church. You are part of what the mission of the church is from Scripture. As you think, too, about the priorities in the church, and I'm thinking of our biblical convictions for particularly Gilbert Bible Church, you know, and just the place that church discipline has. Hmm. Just how we have a biblical view of sin, and we take Jesus' instruction serious. And that is the role of the church. That is a priority of the church. Mm-hmm. Holiness.
Yeah.
Presenting each one holy and blameless.
Which that in and of itself can be convicting when you are on the fringe. You're actually missing out on the opportunity to participate where necessary in promoting holiness within the church. And you're missing out on the kind, loving protection of the Lord for the believer from the deceitfulness of sin that can so easily entangle and harden a heart. If I'm constantly on the fringe in the church, and the church doesn't have insight into my life, I'm missing out on a safeguard to holiness and love and care that should flow out of the church.
You know, this might be a completely different conversation, but to ask yourself, what are the means of grace that God has given the church, the assembly of people? And, you know, it's easy, you know, we'll say, read your Bible, you'll say prayer, but a means of grace is the body that God has assembled.
Yeah, so to not prioritize the church or have it take a very low priority is to actually rob yourself of the graces of God towards you in Christ.
That's right.
It's helpful. It's insightful. So how I know Julie and I were talking about our schedule the other day and various commitments in our life, and one of the things that came up is you make time for what matters.
Yes.
How would you help those listening think through all the different demands in life, if they have children, school obligations, extracurricular obligations, sports? That's a big one right now. I know even in our church, in our area, school sports, my kids play multiple sports, club sports, dancing, all sorts of different activities, music. How would you help a family trying to juggle all the different responsibilities, work, relationships, friendships, and think through their commitment to church and activities in the church and in being involved in the church? What are just some maybe guiding principles that you would give as families are trying to evaluate what to commit to and how much and when and so forth? Either one of you. It's hard.
It's a hard question. I'm in a different season where it's multiple grandkids, and Wouldn't it be so much easier if they were all on the same team playing the same sport at the same time?
But our two boys played football together, flag football together. And as you know, Asher's driving. It was glorious. It was so convenient. It was so helpful.
Well, I'd want to encourage whoever's listening that there are seasons that are harder than other seasons. Mm-hmm. And just recognize that's part of it. And at the same time, if you're happen to be in a season where you have an abundance of activities, I think it's helpful just to go back and remind yourself, you and your spouse, remind yourself of what are the priorities that God has for your life.
Yep.
That I need to be there. There is an expectation from Scripture that I am going to be growing in my holiness. There's an expectation of growing in my discipleship, of just being involved, being equipped. And so don't lose sight of what God's Scripture's expectation is. That way you are at least moving towards being in the priorities of what the Lord has.
Yeah, I think that's right, Tom. And recognizing that whatever you do commit to does have consequences on your margins, on your availability. And just even thinking through that intentionally before you compulsively commit to different things, discussing that, prayerfully considering what you commit to can have big implications. I really appreciated what Kenny taught this morning in EQ when he was talking about your decisions in life and your commitments in life are modeling things for your children. And so what you even commit your children to and how that relates to church, if church is always an afterthought, fellowship group is always an afterthought, it fits in the margins, you're in practice teaching your children that as well. And so right. Just giving thought or realization to that can have a significant impact in thinking through what you commit to, when and how much and for how long and so forth. And like you said, seasons will come and go. Capacities may look different in different times.
That's right.
But prayerful consideration in those things. And then also seek counsel. Get input. Don't live on an island thinking you've got everything wired just as it should be. Go to people who love you, who are wise in the faith, who know you. Ask them, hey, does my life show a level of sensibility in what I'm committing myself to and how much and so forth? Tyler, any additional thoughts on that?
No, that's so good and helpful. I think it's good to remember that what God has called us to, the various things that he has called us to be faithful to aren't in competition with one another. And you need to know yourself. You need to know, what am I prone to cherishing? What am I prone to holding up? Even good things to a position that is not good. Mm. It is really, really helpful for me to remember what Christ's priorities are, mm-hmm. What Jesus's priorities are. And the very next chapter of Ephesians 5, has this section on husbands and wives, which is so sweet. But in the middle of that section, Paul just gets carried away talking about Christ and Christ's love for his church. He loved his church and he gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. It goes on, and Paul goes back and forth talking about husbands and wives and marriage. And he, in verse 32, says, "This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church." Mm-hmm. It's amazing how much Jesus loves his church. A question that I would ask myself is, do I prioritize what my Lord prioritizes? Do I love what my Lord loves? And I need to keep correcting all of my desires towards what he loves.
Yeah. Being we're in Ephesians in chapter 1, we know that God lavishes his grace on his children. And then the question is, am I cutting myself off from the grace that God is lavishing on me? And that's the church.
It's great, guys. A lot of really helpful insight there, encouraging truth. Do I love what Jesus loves? Does my life reflect that? And am I embracing the grace that the Lord has given to me to grow me in holiness? I think a lot of this comes down simply to faith. And Tom, what you said at the very beginning, I think we should end with, and that's, are we thinking in agreement with God? Are we believing what God has said about himself and us? Are we submitting ourselves to Scripture? Do we believe it? Do we believe a life committed to the things that God calls the believer to be about is going to be more satisfying than the temporal things that are good to enjoy and can be enjoyed worshipfully of the Lord? Good reminders. Thank you, men.
It's great to be with you guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.